Good morning. Let's begin our worship with our gathering hymn, You Are My All in All. It's in your order of worship and also hymn number 571 if you prefer to use the hymnal. Let's stand as you're able. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God together here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here and we're glad to have guests in our service today. Thank you for coming and being a part of our worship with us today. If you'd do us a favor and take one of the visitor's cards in the pew rack and complete that and put it in the offering plate when it's passed, that'll help us to be able to contact you if you'd like for us to. We also welcome those joining us online or on our radio broadcast. We're grateful that you're part of our worship and pray it's a blessing to you. And we invite you to come and worship with us in person here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church anytime. We'd love to have you in our services. Let me mention several opportunities. First of all, at the end of our service today, we're going to have a brief congregational meeting. So we need for all of our members to stay, if at all possible, to present some proposed bylaw change. So please be aware of that and stay for that. Our youth group will meet this evening at 5:30 and we'll be baking cookies for homebound folks and so forth. So we're looking forward to that as well. And we're grateful for our youth and that we are meeting again with the youth and pray God's blessings on them. The food bank of the Albemarle will be this Tuesday at 1:30. We need volunteers, and the volunteers need to be here by 1:30, and then the distribution starts at 2:30. And we hope that some of you will be able to come and participate in that. It's a very, very important ministry that we carry on. And then the Lenten luncheon this week will be at the university in the Chowan Room, and I hope many of you will be able to attend that. These luncheons have been very well attended and have been a blessing as we've been moving through the Lenten season. Kids Club will be Wednesday evening at 6, choir practice at 6, and then prayer and Bible study at 7. Now, if you'd like to place an Easter lily in the sanctuary, remember that you need to contact the office by March the 20th. It's $23 per lily, and those will be here for Easter Sunday, and they will beautify our sanctuary in celebration of Christ's resurrection. And then our Easter egg hunt will be Wednesday, March 27th. There are details in the bulletin. We have all the eggs now. Folks have taken those to fill those. We do still need folks to volunteer to bring some of the items that are listed in the bulletin. So please take note of that and help with that as well. We'll have a Maundy Thursday communion service that will also combine some elements of Good Friday. That will be March 28th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And be praying about our annual Revival Sunday on April 14th as Dr. Roger Gilbert will be with us as our guest preacher. We will have services morning and evening that day, and we'll have a covered dish meal before the evening service. We'll have the Middle Swamp Baptist Choir with us singing in the evening service, and we're looking forward to that as well. And for graduate recognition, we have extended the deadline until today. If you can let us know about any graduates in your family that you would like recognized, you can email the church office this afternoon, or you can call and leave a message this afternoon on the church voicemail. A lot of things going on in the life of our church, and we are grateful for how God is working. Our call to worship is responsive this morning, printed in our order of worship. I invite you to join me in that, and then over on the next page, we'll go into our unison prayer of confession. If you'll join in on the bold print. Only God Almighty can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. When He does, He grants us, His people, grace to love what He commands and to desire what He promises, fixing our hearts on Christ, in whom we find true joy. Let us worship our God together now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let us pray. Have mercy on us, O God, according to Your steadfast love. According to Your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Restore to us the joy of Your salvation, and sustain a willing spirit in us. Then we will teach transgressors Your ways, and sinners will return to You. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 285, God of Grace and God of Glory, 285. Thank you. seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon now. Come right ahead, and I think we may have a couple more coming. Any others? There they come. I thought we had a couple more coming. All right. Well, how's everybody doing? Good. This doesn't have anything to do with children's sermon, but I want to ask you something. What is today?
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. I have on my green. You can hardly see it, but it's there. Yeah. And do you know who St. Patrick was? All right. Roman Catholic Church named him a saint. That's right.
He doesn't like snakes.
He does not like snakes, okay. That's the legend. But actually, he, as a young boy, was from England. He was captured and taken to Ireland as a slave. And then when he was about 15 or 16 years old, he escaped. And he became a Christian. And then later on, God called him to go back to Ireland to help them know Christ. And so he was a missionary back to Ireland. And many, many people in Ireland became Christians because of his ministry. And that's why he is honored. So, just a little tidbit of information there for you. Remember that St. Patrick's Day is really about remembering a great missionary rather than just everything Irish, okay? Now, for the children's sermon, later on this morning in my sermon, I'm going to be talking about the great commandment or the greatest commandment. Now, when you think about how God wants us to live, the things that he wants us to do and not do, what is a set of rules that comes to your mind? What's that one? All right, don't lie, tell the truth. Okay, yeah. The Ten Commandments, yeah. And God gave the people of Israel in the Old Testament the Ten Commandments when he made his covenant with them to show them how they were to live for him. Jeffrey?
To not do the seven deadly sins.
I'm sorry?
To not do the
seven deadly sins. Okay, all right. Well, those commandments, along with some other things that he told them, were to guide them in how they were to live, okay, as his people. Now, one day, Jesus was teaching, and some people started asking him some questions, and they were trying to catch him in what he was saying so they could accuse him and cause problems for him. But then one of them, who was a teacher of the law, he really wanted to know what Jesus thought. And he said, Jesus, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? Now, he was probably thinking Jesus was going to point to one of the Ten Commandments. But you know what Jesus said? He said, the greatest is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second one is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that man thought for a minute, and he said, Jesus, you're right. You're exactly right. Because you see, when we love God with all of our mind and heart and soul and strength, with everything we are, what are we going to do? We're going to please God, aren't we? We're going to do the things that he wants us to do and not do the things that he doesn't want us to do. Now, none of us ever loves God perfectly, and so we mess up. The good news is that God forgives us when we mess up and we tell him that we've messed up and we admit it and ask him to forgive us. But the greatest commandment is loving the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Because when we love someone, we want to do what pleases them, right? We want to do what's best. And he said the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we want to help our neighbor and do good things to our neighbor and treat our neighbor the way that we would like to be treated. And the amazing thing is that when we do those two commandments, everything that's in the Ten Commandments is going to be covered. It'll be taken care of. Right? Okay. So, I want you always to remember that the most important commandment is loving God with everything we are, our whole heart and mind and soul and strength. And the second is loving our neighbor as ourselves. And when we do that, we'll be pleasing God. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these children. We ask your blessings on them. We pray, Father, that as they learn more about you, that they will become strong disciples, that those who've already followed you will grow in their faith, that those who have not yet come to trust you will come to trust you, and they will walk as faithful disciples of Jesus, and they will grow and become strong in him, and that you'll use them in a very special way in the years to come. Thank you, Lord, for our church, for all your blessings now, and help us all, always, to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on all their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We come now to our prayer time this morning, and there are a number of requests. As many of you know, Booker Daniel fell and injured her knee and is having difficulty getting around. She's doing well. She says she's feeling better, but we still need to pray for her. But she also has asked that we pray for her sister, Sammy Braxton, who will have surgery on her hand on the 19th. And then also for Sammy's husband, Bill, who will have a heart cath on April the 2nd. So please remember them. We also want to remember the James Jones family. That is T.K. Warren's nephew who died unexpectedly this week. And please be praying for the family. The funeral will be next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Riverside Cemetery. And so hope that some of you will be able to be there for that as well. Also, because it was unexpected, it has put a financial burden on the family, and so they're asking that in lieu of any flowers or memorial gifts that contributions be made to help out with the cost of the service. We also want to remember Joan Grizzard. She has been moved to PAM Specialty Hospital in Rocky Mount in her recovery, so please continue to remember her. And there are others on our hearts and minds as well that we want to lift up today. Please continue to remember Dr. Nate Leonard, pastor at First Baptist Moorhead City, and his family as he's recovering from the accident and grieving the death of his wife as a result of that accident. So let's join together in prayer, and we'll have a moment of silence first, then I'll offer our prayer, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe and Lord of life, we thank you for who you are and for all you've done as you provide for our daily needs and as you provide for our greatest need of salvation in Christ. We thank you that in your great eternal plan of redemption, you prepared the way through your people and sent your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to live among us as one of us, to give his life for us on the cross, and to rise victorious over sin and death and the grave. Thank you that you have called us to follow him in his way, and that you've empowered us through your Spirit to walk as Jesus walked, following him through suffering into glory. Help us, Lord Jesus, to become like him, develop his likeness and his character within us as we learn and live your ways, O Lord. And as we walk in your ways, Lord Jesus, help us to seek first your kingdom in our lives and in our life together as a church. Help us to remember that you've placed us here for a purpose, to be on mission with you in your world, showing and sharing your love as we proclaim the gospel with our lives and our lips and our acts of love. May the world around us see your grace in us. May they see how your love has redeemed us and is transforming us, so that we are becoming more and more like you and less like the enemy, Satan. We pray for your work in the world, Father, especially through your church and in all the ways that you work. We pray for the coming of your kingdom, your rule in the world. May your Spirit have your way as you are with us and as you empower us to serve our Lord Jesus. May it be clear to all who see that Jesus is Lord among us, that he reigns in our lives and in our church. Raise up workers for your harvest from among us, Lord, and remind us that you call us all to be on mission with you. You've taught us to pray for one another, Father, and so we lift up those who are in need, those who are sick, those who are bereaved, those who are in need in some way. Help them, Lord. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can, Father. Be very real to them in their time of difficulty. Work your will in their lives and in the lives of those around them. And where it is your will, we pray you would grant healing. In every situation, we pray you would grant comfort and strength for each day and peace. Bless the leaders of our nation and our state and our county and our town in these challenging days, Lord. Give wisdom from above and help them to govern with integrity, seeking what's right rather than personal profit or gain. Bless those who protect our nation and our freedoms. Keep them safe as they are in harm's way, and help their families here at home. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for saving us, for being present in our lives, and for making us your children. Thank you for working in us to make us like Christ. Thank you for the promises of your word and for the hope of resurrection and the life everlasting. We offer our prayers now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns and lives together with you and the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. And we offer our prayer, Lord, in the words of that prayer that he taught us to pray, praying together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 598, Jesus is a Song, 598. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are grateful for all your gracious gifts that sustain us in our life in this world. Most of all, we are grateful for the gift of your Son and of eternal life through him. As we present our tithes and offerings to you now, may they be a fitting expression of our gratitude for your blessings and your grace in Christ. Use them for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom work in this world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hard to beat Scripture, isn't it? Our text this morning comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Mark 12, 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And then the scribe said to him, 'You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question." Lord, speak to our hearts now and open our minds that we may hear and receive what you would say to us, and that we may live in obedience to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, when we were serving a church in Central North Carolina, there was a couple in the church, or family in the church, that the lady was Korean. Her name was Nam Soon. And she and her husband had met when he was in the Army and was stationed in Korea. They had fallen in love, gotten married, and of course, when it was time for him to come back, she left her family and her country, and she came back to Chatham County, North Carolina, with her new husband. A few years later, her mother wanted to come and visit, and she didn't speak any English whatsoever. She flew into Washington, D.C., and when she was about to get off the plane, one of the flight attendants said something to her, and she didn't know what she was saying, and so everything she had in her hands, she handed to the flight attendant. And then she went down the passenger loading bridge, and Nam Soon greeted her, and as they talked, she asked about her passport, and she explained that she just gave everything to the flight attendant. Well, Nam Soon goes running back up the loading bridge, and she finds the pilot, and she starts telling him what happened. And he said, wait a minute, and he calls all the crew together. He says, "Y'all, you folks come, you have to hear this. Here is a Korean lady speaking Southern English." He missed what mattered most. She was looking for a passport. He was interested in this Korean lady speaking Southern English. And sometimes it's easy to miss what's really important, what matters most, isn't it? We often get so wrapped up in our activities and focus on results that we fail to understand what's most important. Now, not that those things, activities and results, are not important, because they are. But when we make that our primary focus, we're in danger of missing what really matters. The text that we're looking at this morning is part of a larger section of Mark's account of the gospel that tells us how some Jewish and political leaders were challenging Jesus. They were trying to ask him some questions that they could use to catch him in something that he would say so that they could accuse him of sedition or something else to try to stop him. Well, the first one was when some Pharisees teamed up with some Herodians to come and ask Jesus a question. The Pharisees, of course, were religious leaders. They were very strict about their interpretation of the law. And the Herodians, we don't know much about them, but it's from what little bit we do know, it seems that these were Jewish people who strongly supported the dynasty of Herod. You remember King Herod the Great was the one who had carried on a great building project with the temple to try to get in good graces with the Jews. And he had been named the King of the Jews by the Roman government. He was King of the Jews when Jesus was born. He's the one who ordered for all the little boys around Bethlehem under 2 years old to be destroyed, to be killed, because he was trying to kill this new King of the Jews. Well, when he died, in 4 BC, the rule of Palestine was divided among his sons Archelaus, Herod Antipas, and Philip. And then by the time that Jesus was carrying on his ministry, 30 years or so later, Herod Antipas and Philip were ruling the northern part of Palestine, while Jerusalem and Judea were governed by the Roman governor, who at the time of Jesus' ministry was Pontius Pilate. Well, apparently there were some people who were very strong supporters that Herod's sons ought to be ruling in Palestine. They decided they're going to try to get Jesus in trouble with the Romans. And the Pharisees say, well, if we don't get him in trouble with the Romans, we can get him in trouble with the Jews, because the Jews hated paying tribute to Rome. And so they came and asked Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we pay? Well, they think we've got him. If he says you should, he makes the Jews mad. If he says you shouldn't, then he's committing sedition. Jesus very wisely responded, show me a denarius. That was the coin that they used to pay the tax. Show me a denarius. And he held it up and said, whose image is this and whose inscription is this? And they said, well, it's the emperor's. All right then, give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. What can they do with that? And so they walked away. But then you had the Sadducees who came to him. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And as one of my teachers said, that's why they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection. But they're trying to catch Jesus, so they come and ask this question about a hypothetical situation. And they're basing it on that strange law in the Old Testament where in certain cases, when a man had married and did not have any children with his wife and he died, then the man's brother was to take her as a wife and raise up children to him. And they quoted that to Jesus. And then they said, now, there were 7 brothers, and the oldest one married and he died with no child. And so the second one took her, and he died and left no child, and the third one, and on down the line, until all 7 of them had married her. And here they thought they had him. So, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus said, isn't this the reason you're wrong, that you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. They had thought that they had him, but again, he'd answered wisely, showing their error in the reality of the hope of the resurrection. Mark tells us that at this point, one of the scribes who had been listening to Jesus respond to these questions had a burning question that he wanted to ask him out of a sincere desire, not to trap him, but to know what Jesus thought about this. And so he asks him, which commandment is the first of all? In other words, of all the commandments, which one matters most? And Jesus' response, he didn't hesitate in the least to answer him. The first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now Jesus was quoting the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 and 5 that faithful Jews recited every day, often twice a day, and every synagogue service would begin with that confession. The Shema recognizes God's sovereign uniqueness and causes people to love Him with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength. In other words, with all that one is. And then Jesus gave them a bonus. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself, from Leviticus 19, verse 18. When someone does these two things, all the moral law of God is being kept. And when this scribe heard Jesus' reply, he agreed with him strongly. And when Jesus heard that, he said to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And then nobody else would ask him any more questions. Now, what did Jesus mean by all this? Well, isn't the point of this text clear? Jesus declared that God's greatest commandment is to love God with one's entire being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our love for God is what matters most. Our love for God is what matters most in life. And it's to be a complete love, loving Him with our entire being, our heart, our inmost self, our intellect, even with our physical self, with our entire being. We're to love Him with everything we are. When we do, we act in ways that are pleasing to Him. It's to be an exclusive love. He is Lord. There is no other God besides Him. Who He is demands our highest love and our highest loyalty. Now, why is this the most important commandment? It's because everything else in the Christian life grows out of our relationship with God. Think about that. Whatever state our relationship with God is in, that's going to affect how we're living the Christian life. Everything else grows out of this love relationship with God. Don't miss that. So often we lack motivation in our worship and in our witness and in our service to God. Could the root of the problem be that our relationship with God isn't really a relationship characterized by love? When we love God with all our being, the fulfillment of the second commandment naturally follows. We love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And when we love God and our neighbor, a Christian lifestyle naturally flows from those two loves, flows out of that relationship with God. And there's some things that'll be present in the lives of those who are loving God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. We'll have a life of prayer where we enjoy being with God. Genuine worship as we eagerly praise God with His people, hearing and responding to His word in faithful obedience. We'll be engaging in missional witness as we gladly tell others about Christ and His love through our words of witness and our deeds of love. And it'll come in a natural way. It won't have to be forced. Acts of ministry as we follow Jesus, serving as He served. And generous stewardship as we joyfully give as Jesus gave Himself for us. You want to know how we show God our love? In John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." And His first commandment was to love. to love. Isn't our obedience a real indicator of the depth of our love for Jesus? When we really love Him, this love relationship is the wellspring of our obedience and our worship and our witness and our service. So what matters most? What matters most? It's our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Have you missed this relationship? Have you put so much emphasis on doing in your Christian life that you've missed out on enjoying your relationship with God? Historically, there's always been this tension between the contemplative life and the activist life. In the contemplative life, we're focusing on spending time with God and reflecting on our relationship with Him and what that means. And in the activist life, it's you know, like that commercial, just do it. Just do it. And the fact of the matter is that it's not either or. It's both and. We spend time with God in a loving relationship, and out of that grows the doing. Being with God, doing His will. You remember Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, don't you? While Martha was so busy trying to get a meal ready for Jesus and those who had come with Him, Mary was sitting at His feet, hanging on every word. And Martha wanted everything to be just right, and she wanted it to be a great meal, and she was working so hard, and she was getting more and more frustrated with her sister, and she came and complained to Jesus. You remember what Jesus said? Martha, Martha, you're distracted and worried by many things, and there's need of only one thing. You know, you only really need to do one dish. Don't worry about this great big meal. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. So, brothers and sisters, the doing is important, and we must do it. But the being is absolutely necessary. Loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength and our service and worship and witness growing out of that. Don't miss what really matters most. Let's pray. And so, Lord, help us to focus on what truly matters most, and help us to be obedient to You in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 472, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. As we sing this morning, perhaps God is speaking to you about your relationship with Him. Are you really loving Him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength? Well, whatever He's calling you to this morning, you can respond to Him right where you are, and you can make that commitment of obedience to Him right where you are. It may be that it would be helpful to you to come and share that commitment. We invite you to do that this morning. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but today He's speaking to you, and He's calling you to follow Him and to love Him. Would you trust Him today? If you will, you can do that right where you are, but then you need to tell others about it. And we invite you to come and share that good news. Or if you need guidance in making that commitment, we invite you to come. As we stand and sing number 472.
Thank you.
Remember, we need to stay for just a few moments for the congregational meeting, but we are glad that you all have been here to worship today. On this St. Patrick's Day, I think that for the benediction, it would be appropriate to use a prayer that St. Patrick left behind. And so, an adaptation of that for our benediction this morning. May Christ be with you, Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ within you, Christ beneath you, Christ above you, Christ on your right, Christ on your left, Christ when you lie down, Christ when you sit down, Christ when you rise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of you, Christ in every eye that sees you, Christ in every ear that hears you. May Christ be with you. Amen.